Once you place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what you have done is the biggest decision in your life. That is the biggest decision. There's no other greater than that, I would say. There are only two decisions in this life that you can make. And you cannot afford to do it in faith. That two decisions, first is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the main decision. The second decision that you are going to make in this life is to what? To find, to decide, to accept a spouse. Accepting a spouse or finding a spouse is one great decision that you cannot commit to faith. Because if you do, your spouse will either make you or break you. And you will be in conflict for that for the rest of your life. You may find another spouse because the first or second or third didn't work. Or fourth or fifth or seventh or tenth will work. So hoping that the 11th will do just perfect. Elizabeth Taylor, she's got seven husbands. But again, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is the most important decision. Do not commit mistakes in this, because this is life and death. This is about heaven and hell. So make sure that you are saved. And in order for you to be sure that you are saved, read it in the scripture, because the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse number 39, seek ye the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. So, if you want to know salvation, do you want to know that you are really, you can really be assured of going to heaven? Search it in the Bible, because the Bible declares it. It is there. If we are not understanding clearly what happened when we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be a problem in our Christian life. Why do we need salvation? Because last week we talked about this. Because we are guilty of sin, for all our sins, and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 5:12, it says there, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Again, we understand that that one person there, that one man spoken of in that verse is Adam. And it was him who committed mistakes. Remember, it's not him. The Bible says, therefore, as by one man, not by one woman, the reason being, he was not really, you know, violating God's command by marriage. She was deceived. He was deceived. But why is it Adam? Adam was not deceived. He committed the sin by volition. You know what volition? You know that like a child? You will tell a child, don't touch it, don't touch it. Now then the child will then touch it. But in our case, God says that, you know, do not commit adultery, do not commit fornication. When you commit those things, it was with all our knowledge. We know that it is sin, and we just still do it. That is volition. It is not deception. You are not deceived by that. You are just hard-headed. You are disobedient to God, of what God has just said. And you know if you're pushing yourself, you will be wrong. Maybe drinking alcohol. God will say, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is drinking. And whoso received thereby, whoso is received thereby, is not wise. Who has woes? Who has sorrows? They that carry long to the wine. They that, you know, look upon the red wine. Do not look at the wine when it is red. When it's moving itself aright, for at last it bites the excellence. And yeah, you will find it very hard, you know, when you are beaten by that. And many of the people that are drinking and you know, disobeying God's command already, they found themselves problems with livers. Their organs are damaged. And then they think that they can ask God to forgive them. God will forgive them, but they will suffer the consequences. People, lost their health because of their sin, their sin by remission, and they are thinking that God will forgive them. God will forgive them, but you will suffer the consequences. Some young people, they drink drugs and take drugs, abuse drugs, they live their life, they realize it's not right, and then they want to straighten up their lives, and then they start drinking, avoiding drugs, avoiding alcohol, but sometimes it leaves scars in the body. Sometimes when they leave those spices, their lungs are already damaged, their liver is already damaged, and then the young person will realize, oh, he wants to join the military. And he may pass all the tests there, the agility test, perhaps, the battery test, and pass all the tests, then go to medical, and he fails in medical. Because there is this scar or something in the organ, in the lung. And then asking God, Lord, please give me back, let me be enlisted in army or in navy. Then it could happen because God is forgiving you, but there is ramification of sin. There is always that ramification of sin. That is why we have to understand this, that Adam committed sin by volition. Eve committed sin by deception. So if I deceive, maybe Brother Leonard, I will say to Brother Leonard, I thank you to that place, but I had a hidden affliction for Brother Leonard. And then when he gets to that place, for sure, he will plunge into that thing that he doesn't like, if he knew it. But because I said to him, and I just, you know, I was deceiving him. Practically, I was deceiving him, and then he went into that place. So, in that case, he might commit sin, but because of deception. That's what the thing that happened to Eve. Eve committed the sin by deception. Satan or the serpent deceived Eve. But Adam was not deceived. He was the one who bears the sin for us and all over the world. For us, by one man, sin entered into the world. Death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, what is the penalty for Adam's sin? I tell you, that was very simple sin. We don't see it really. He was crying. Is it that he was crying? Your father will say to you, okay, I have an important parliament here. This is a plan here. Do not touch it, because if you touch it, that plan will die. and then you just touch it and the plant dies. Maybe our Father will forgive us and forget it and buy another. I think that is just as simple as that. But again, if you look at the scene of Eden, it is just as simple as that. Eden, don't touch, don't eat this. Of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Eden knows it. He knew it. And he just did it. But Eve was deceived by the serpent. It's a prophet in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. So notice here what happened to this transition. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, and God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So now the serpent is trying to maneuver the path. I mean, trying to alter the path. Because it was really a path that God said, do not eat of the fruit in the midst of the garden, but here you shall not eat of every tree, so all trees. So that's the problem there. And then, because Eve was very naive, I think that the word maybe comes from naive, very innocent, very unsuspecting. You know, are you unsuspecting? Sometimes when someone will come to you and he's new, you know, something to, you know, it's not very, a stranger comes to you. At least you might know something in your mind. Do not just give your trust all the way. You have to research something because who knows, you know, who's this person? Eve was very naive. She was very unsuspecting here. And she talked to the serpent, and the woman said unto the serpent, she clarified what God said. That means, in her heart, she doesn't want to disobey God. She has no intention of disobeying God. So she said here, it's facing the serpent, so that the serpent will have clear understanding of this. And it says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. She understood it. But although she took a little bit more of the word, God did not say that if you touch it, you will die. If you eat it, you will die. So I think that was Eden's addition to that. Because with God then, thou mayest freely, or the meaning of the garden, thou mayest freely, or the fruit of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But of the fruit, which is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou wilt grow, you shall die. But with Ada relating message to Eve, I think it was Ada who added to that. So that for Eve not to come near the tree, so Eve, don't get near to the tree. You will not die, maybe you get near to the tree, but you will be there, the physical people, you will be there, just surrounding of that tree. So stay away from that, because if you touch it, you'll die. So I think Adam added something to that, and Eve now is relating it to the serpent. Eve is saying that we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, and you shall not touch it, necesidad. And now it's the Egyptian comes in. Where is the Egyptian? Verse number 4. Verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Ah, okay. Okay, so there's no harm here. There's no harm. Eve was thinking, oh, this is not harmful. This is not harmful. Physically, it's not harmful, but spiritually, it is. You see? Now, verse number 5. Satan continued to lie. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that is the fulfilled description there. And Eve, being naive, bought it. Now, when she did it, did you realize that when Eve ate of the fruit of the tree, she did not realize that she was naked? She did not yet realize. But when Adam ate of the fruit of the tree, both of them eventually, suddenly, we're naked. But Eve already ate the fruit, and she did not feel it, that she is naked. Why? Because maybe it's not yet completely sinful. Because it was deceit, in deception, it was a deception. But when the sin was completely consummated upon the act of Adam, that is for the world. So Eve was not the bearer of the sin in Adam. That is why this verse in Romans 5:12, for as by one man, for as death by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for the whole of sin. So it was Adam who carried it all throughout the generations. And then the penalty of that is death. Simple disobedience caused death. That is true. What really requires, you know, the penalty of hell is just one thing. If you have done one thing, that's it. But all of us have done a lot of things. That is why the Bible says that it is true, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and no one can escape. All of us. Because all of us have done sin. Whether it is big sin or small sin in our eyes, it's all sin to God. That is why you cannot say that, oh, he's a killer, he must be in hell. That person, you know, Hitler, he killed 5 million Jews. That's gross. That's too much, that's evil. He must be in hell. And we will realize that even that small little lie is also will cause us to go to hell. All sin will cause us to go to hell. Now, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. I'll show you how small sin will take you to hell. That's the reason why we can be saved. We are all. We need a Savior because God is holy. And we cannot get there without a Savior, without Jesus Christ. Revelation 21:8. Now, who will take this sin if individual sin and then cover the rest of the words and then jump to the conclusion of it? In other words, the Bible says here, but the fearful, they will suffer the word fearful. What is the penalty of being fearful? Cover the words and the rest of the words and then jump to the word shall have their part. That word. So cover the rest of the word. But the fearful, what they know, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In other words, if you are just fearful, you're not just being fearful, you will go to the lake of fire. Because it's not the God that can save you. Being, for many times, we are the subject of being fearful. Sometimes we are fearful to man. And in being fearful to man, we commit sin without any person looking at us. When no one is looking at us, we feel like we have freedom to sin. We feel like, you know, when you are alone in a group, or when you are in another place that no person, no one knows you, you feel like you have all the freedom to sin. Why you are going away, just going to other places to commit a sin? Why? Because you don't want people to know that you are doing this, doing that. Why do that? Because you are fearful of God. And in the end, you are not fearful of God, that God is looking at you. You are being fearful to man, and not being fearful to God. And you know what? Finally, the most of you, without Christ, shall have the part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That is people's sin. That is very simple sin. In our, you know, institution, that amounts to anything that we call evils. We could say that it's forgivable, but to God, the penalty is the lake of fire. If you are a judge, you will not say someone to the lake of fire. If I am a judge and living here, I will not say that someone to the lake of fire. But God will say that someone to the lake of fire. And there's another word, unbelieving. What is unbelieving? We all believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. We believe that. And we all believe that there is hell. And we all believe that. But our action, you know, is contrary to what we believe. Why I say that? Because, why we believe that there is heaven? There is a vision of Jesus Christ. We believe that. And we believe also that there is hell. We believe that. But we don't go to people. We don't talk to people and tell them about Jesus. So in practical application, you are not believing. So therefore, you fall into this sin again. Unbelief. Because if you believe that there is a vision of Jesus Christ, that people can be taken care of, you will tell people. You will end up in the study of your home and tell these people that there is a vision of Jesus Christ, but you don't do that. Why? Because while we believe it in our mind, we don't practice it in our life. And we ended up in this state of unbelief. When you say you believe God, you don't really believe God. Because if you believe God, you go out of the state and tell people. You don't really believe that there is death, because if you believe that there is death, you go out and tell them. That is why we are also guilty of this. And if you are guilty of unbelief, what is the penalty? Go to jail? No, go to the lake of fire. Because this each one of the things is punished by God into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Abominable and murderers, whoremongers, and all the things. Whoremongers is this is a like a sexual relationship between a person with another person that is not his wife. Or even desire, you look at the pornographic material, and you look at a person's, you know, body, and that person's body is not your spouse. That is what part of the whole. And this sin will have the part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. small thing in our hand. Feel good is not the kind of thing of Hitler or Bluetooth or the abortions for the rapists. But in the hand of God, it's all the same. It's all the same. You have your part in the lake which burns in fire and brimstone. That is the penalty of Adam's sin. When Adam disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, that simple, in our eyes, simple thing of disobedience to us is okay, but to God is not okay. Do you know how many people will go to hell because of that action of Adam? Billions upon billions of people will go to hell because of Adam eating of that fruit. Eating of the fruit is not the thing. It's not the thing. The thing is, God said a word and you disobeyed. If God will say, okay, Adam, do not pick up the leaves of that tree. Do not pick up any leaves. The thing there is, anything that you do in opposition to what God said. It's just that God is telling Adam, do not eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. And exactly in opposition to that, what Adam did is just opposite. That is why it is sin. The sin is not the eating, the sin is disobedience. And all of us disobey God when we go in sin. Because we already know that God has said that in the scripture, and we disobey Him. But again, God is very loving and forgiving. But remember this, there is ramification to that. There is ramification of sin. You remember David? When David sinned against God by numbering by committing adultery with Bathsheba and killing Uriah. You know, killing Uriah was not his plan. In fact, he loved Uriah. But that is the only way that he can escape this, you know, the whole shameful tragedy there of adultery. He committed adultery to a married woman, and the husband is the army soldier of David in the war. When he committed adultery, now there was the woman that pregnant, and it's a problem now. Because the husband is in the war. So what David did, he called for the husband to come home, you know. And he ate with Uriah. And when Uriah was drunk, he sent Uriah to his house to sleep with his wife. So that he doesn't know to cover him. So that people will know, the people in the society know that all Uriah came back. So, and Bathsheba got pregnant. But Uriah could not take it. He understood that his brothers, fellow soldiers, are in war. They sleep in the trenches, they sleep in the mud, and they cannot sleep in the rain, and they stay up all night, and we have no proper food, and everything there is, he could not take it. You know? He said, I cannot do that, because my brother is in the war. So he would not go to his wife, to sleep with his wife. He disobeyed David, and looking at the window, he arrived at it on the side of the road. So he could not do this. He arrived to sleep with his wife, okay. He wrote the letter to his general, Joab, no, get into the war, and when the war is defeated, withdraw support, put Uriah in the front, and then withdraw your support so that Uriah will die. And you know that letter? When David wrote the letter, it is a scroll, and just like this, and then seal it, and take it to King Abu General Joab, and the messenger who wrote it is Uriah. Uriah thought that this is a commendation. This is a promotion. This letter here from the king. because the king was so pleased with him. Not knowing that that letter is a death letter. And when Joab read the letter, he just bowed up in heaven, put Uriah in the front of the battle, and when the battle was heated up, we crossed the sword. And then the next day, Uriah is dead. They said before to King David, King David, Uriah is dead. Then he took Bathsheba to his wife, and Nathan came. Prophet Nathan came to him, you know King David, the whole story. There's a king, there's a very rich man here, and there's a very poor, and this rich man has a lot of sheep, and this poor man has one new land. That he took it to himself like his sister and loved that one new land. And this rich man had a sister and wanted that new land to be over his sister. And he took the new land and killed the man. And King David was so angry at the time with that rich man. As the Lord has commanded, that man should surely be put to death. And Nathan said, you are the man, David. You are the man. You killed Uriah. You commit adultery with Bathsheba. And from your mouth is judgment of God. But God loves you. You will not die. In other words, God forgive you. But death will not depart from your house. Death will not depart from your house. In other words, God will forgive you, but there is notification of your sin. You cannot get away with your sin. God will forgive you, but you will pay the price of your sin. You know what the price of David's death? When he killed Uriah and he, took Bathsheba, they made that his death with a department of house. You know what happened? His daughter, the one of the most beautiful daughter of King David, was raised by his son. And that son of David that raped the sister was killed by the brother of the sister because of different mothers. Absalom was the brother of that little girl. Tamar. Tamar is the younger sister of Absalom. And did it happen? Amnon was killed by Absalom. And Absalom wanted the kingdom and David loved Absalom. That he departed and he pleased about him because he doesn't want to fight against Absalom. He loved him. He wants Absalom to take the kingdom. So he fled into the mountain. But Absalom could not rest until David is dead. So he followed David. But David is a man of war. And the generals of David were also a man of war. So Absalom lost his life there. And David cried with bitter cry. Oh, Absalom, Absalom. Our life will die for you, Absalom. He could not forgive himself. I'll tell you, God has forgiven his sin. He paid the price, you know. And the price, he would rather die than to have Absalom die. I will tell you, we know that we cannot get away with our sin. We cannot get away. That is why we better stay away from us. Adam said, do not eat of the fruit in the middle of the garden, nor touch it. To make sure that she will not come near. And then, still, it did come back. My friends, ramification of sin. That is why we need salvation in Jesus Christ. Small thing, big thing, there is ramification of that. And you cannot get away from the penalty of that sin. Look forward as a prayer. Let's continue this lesson about understanding salvation. You can do the memory verses ahead of time. Do the memory verses, and I will call you to memorize one. But it is random, so I expect that you memorize all. So memorize all, and you can gain points. Once you complete the 10 points, I will give you this beautiful souvenir. New Testament, so it is Bible, which is genuine bonded brothers, very simple, and there are guides inside and notes that you can find, and there is a step-by-step sowing plan. And the verses that pertain to the wedding are highlighted, so you will have guide, and it will help you with your sowing report. And also I encourage you, if you have free day, free evening, you call friends at your house, I will come, then we will do a study. Because the first meeting most probably is so simple because it's just about salvation. And that's why I want you to learn this, so that later in life, you will be able to do this, and you can do Bible study on your own. If you master this, and there are others here, you can master understanding salvation, master the lessons about eternal security, master the lessons about baptism, and about the Word of God, then this will help you. That's not your own Bible study. But for the meantime, if you are not confident of doing it your own, call me. We will then arrange the schedule, let me know, and I will come to your place, and your friends, loved ones, your workmates, you know, invite them into your house, maybe just meet them here, and I will talk about salvation. And hopefully, we can win many souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have a whole new heart too. The Lord will be blessed, and your life will be blessed, because that is the work of Christ. If Jesus Christ did not leave earth, He will do it. But because the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, left already, and He is now in heaven, waiting for us, we will do His work. The Bible says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while in the day, the night coming, that no man can work. So we will do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you do it very faithfully, the Lord will bless you. So I want you to be blessed also. I don't want you just to come to church. I love you to come to church. I really love that all of you will come to church, but coming to church is not a service here for you. Coming to church is just you are served by the Lord, you are served by the Holy Spirit of God, you are served by the people. But when you do Bible study, that is serving already. That is doing the work of the Lord. And that is where you can earn rewards. In your labor for the Lord. So I want you to be a blessing, and I want you to be a blessing to your loved ones, and giving them the knowledge of salvation and giving them the gospel is the greatest gift that I can give to the people around. So do that. Find out what day of the week, what night of the week that you are available, and I will check also my schedule. Then I will come to your place and we will do Bible study. I think that's what we did with Brother Raymar when he invited us and his classmates to their place. And I'll tell you, in that meeting, I think 8 people received the Lord Jesus Christ. 8 people in one night received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Look at that, 8 people in one night. Because one person opens his home for Bible study. So do that, and I know that the Lord will bless you too. For that, let's pray. Let's close our attendance for now. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this lesson about understanding salvation. I pray, oh God, that these people will be encouraged to memorize these verses and understand all the verses pertaining to salvation, so that, Lord, they also will be able to learn themselves, that they can teach this to others and teach this to their children. And Lord, help them, Lord, in their desire. Give them, Lord, passion for the gospel. Give them passion for soul winning. So that, God, many of the people here in Mount Zion Bible Baptist Church will be able to reach as many people as we can. That, Lord, your name will be glorified. Bless these people, oh God, and thank you, Lord, for bringing them together. And I pray that your blessing will abound on them and their families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a break and let's come back with the ministry.